This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Janice Breeden teaches art for a living at Louisa County High School, but when she paints for her soul. Janice brought along one of her paintings when she drove over to WMRA for a visit. The two of us sat down in the studio and talked about it and her proclivity to paint empty rooms and pieces of furniture.
I do a lot of interiors, and I take pictures of various places, including my home, friends' homes, and a lot of bed and breakfasts. That picture, I believe, came from a bed and breakfast. I'm really interested in the black shapes of interiors, especially tables and chairs. If you see my work, you know I do a lot of tables and chairs.
Now, what do you mean by black shapes? This isn't black.
Well, there's color in there, but because of the backlight, you get that black shape. And when you have like a black table and a black chair, lines disappear and you get these interesting positive, negative shapes that go on in the picture. And that's what I go looking for when I take photographs. I'm looking for those interesting shapes and the play of light. I'll often get a lot of play of light on the surfaces. And then the other thing I go after is at one time I did a lot of figure and I got sort of tired of doing figure and I got to thinking, is there a way of expressing individual personalities and people without showing people? So that's where I got into interiors.
When you say you got tired of doing figures, why?
It became, I thought it was too easy to represent moods, you know, of a person. It was pretty easy by just, you know, their pose and their expression. And it was like, it's so easy to do this. Is there a way to do it that is a little more challenging? And so I went into that.
And so you went into chairs and tables.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With lots of backlighting?
Not necessarily backlighting, but there is a lot of lighting. And you'll see a lot of, in my pictures, you'll see a lot of reflective surfaces. Floors will reflect, or tabletops. But mainly I was really after these dark shapes and how you can build on the dark shapes of black.
You know, I think one thing that really interests me about this, it shows a table that looks as though it might be an old dressing table. The room has old wide plank floors, so it looks like it's 18th century maybe room.
Mm-hmm.
There's two little lamps. There is a curtained window with white light coming through it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is pretty solid. The one sort of ethereal thing is the Kleenex box. And I love your decision. And there is a bottle of water.
Mm-hmm.
I love, tell me about the decision in this old room to leave a Kleenex box and a bottle of water in it.
All that sort of represents people. Those little things that represent people and just leaves you with some of the question about who, and you start thinking about the little objects that sit there. They all represent the person.
It seems to me you're asking somebody who is looking at a picture of yours to engage with the picture, use their imagination, not just passively look at it.
Exactly. Yeah. I want them to think about who might live there, what kind of personality lives there, maybe relate to it a little bit about their past or somewhere they've been.
Where in you does this come from? This artistic decision.
Yeah, I'm not sure it led that way, but I do love old houses. So I love...
Why?
It feels like treasure. You ever been treasure hunting?
Yes.
And to me, when I go into an old house, it's like searching for treasures. And treasures don't necessarily have to be riches. It can just be a box of Kleenexes and a glass of water or something like that. It's just the way it's laid out. It's like just this little personal treasure there.
Are you interested in people in general?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I am nosy.
Yeah.
I'm a reporter. I interview people. Uh-huh. And I am nosy and curious about people. So,
and I guess I am sort of interested in who they are, where they're going. I can remember as a child laying on my back out in the yard, watching the planes going over, thinking, I wonder who's on there. I wonder where they're going. And so I guess in a sense I am. But I think I'm just more interested in the old houses and the people that live there, the type of person that might have lived there when it was first built, and, you know, that old history effect and just the old time sense you get out of it.
I think you can go into old houses and you mm-hmm. can kind of feel the prior inhabitants
yeah.
there.
Yeah, you can.
You were a little girl lying out in the yard looking up at planes. How did that turn into a painter?
I've always been interested in art. I mean, even from the time I was little, just being around art supplies excited me. But really didn't take hold till I was probably in my 30s. And I was going to college for business. And I took a class at Piedmont with my daughter. She was in high school and she got credits for taking a college course. So she wanted to take art class. And she says, we're taking drawing. So I said, all right. And I got into that class and it just changed everything.
Yeah.
And I changed my major and took art. And at some point I was getting through this and I'm thinking, I've got to decide what I'm going to do with this. And I started investigating different careers and chose teaching out of that. But just love, I mean, I love analysis. I love to analyze things. And art, you can just, it's constantly analyzing what you've done, how you can do this, something's not right, how can it be changed, just the techniques, the images, just so much to play with.
You paint in oils?
Yes.
In terms of what you were just talking about, approaching a blank canvas mm-hmm. ready to analyze, can you take us through this painting and how it came to be, the painting of it? Yeah.
The first thing I do is I take the pictures, and I take lots of pictures, and then I start going through them. Maybe there was probably more in this picture than I have here, and I start cropping out and eliminating things, pulling it down.
Is this in your mind?
No, through the computer. I actually use a program.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're working with the actual photographs.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I go through those photographs and look at interesting shapes. Just a quick glance, you start picking out some interesting shapes. And so I start playing with them, the light and the cropping and getting the composition worked out. And once I get the composition worked out, and I like what I'm doing and I want to try it, then I go ahead and I start working on the painting process. And I actually use a process that's from the old masters where they start out with black and white instead of color. You start out and you work everything out. And for me, and that comes through the process of analyzing because there's so much that goes on in a painting that I broke it down into steps, break down the composition, I break down the values, and so that's why I reduce
values?
It. Yeah,
what do you mean
black and white. Values are the lights and darks.
Okay.
And so I change it to black and white, break down my values, and I paint it in black and white. And once I get the values worked out the way I like them, then I come in with my color, and I start adding color over that.
Is it black and white and gray, or simply?
Yes, black and white and gray.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you've got like a black and white, and white photographic
Correct.
Representation of
Correct.
What you want to do.
And then I come in with my colors, and I try to intensify the blacks. The darker I can get those blacks, the better I like it. And I mix my blacks. They're not just black paint. They're black and alizarin red and Prussian blue. And so there are a variety of colors with a lot of black in it that really intensifies the black. And then I come in with the colors, and that the black and the colors really sort of pop out and come together.
How long did you work on this painting?
Oh, some paintings go really fast, some not as fast. That one was probably a good month.
A month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very painstaking. You're not just feeling the heat and slapping some paint on.
Correct.
This is analytical, uh-huh. what you were talking about. And what's your level of engagement when you're painting? Does the rest of the world go away? Or
yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When I paint, everything, time stops. I lose track of time. If I get really involved, sometimes I can spend a whole day painting and not even know I've spent the day. And only thing that tells me is my stomach starts growling.
You get, when you talk about painting, you get this kind of light in your own eyes. This is a real passion, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
And so how long have you been doing it? How many years have you
been? So I started, started painting. And when I was young, I just drew. I would draw a lot. But I took up painting when I was in college, and I went to college late. And so I finished college probably in 99. And so I went to Mary Baldwin and took painting there. And that's where I started taking up the painting. And from there, I played around with a lot of different techniques and developed, and it wound up developing into this.
I'm interested, when you went to college and took painting classes, do you feel that you learned things, useful things in those classes, or was it just permission to paint?
No, I learned stuff in the classes. I had a really good teacher, and I was able
to mention names?
Yeah, Paul Ryan.
Okay.
He was a great teacher. He gave me a lot of, from him, I learned a lot of things about analyzing. Like, I realized I was way too tight on my painting, too painstaking, and it wasn't flowing right. And so as I worked through it, I says, I've got to loosen up, and how can I do that? And that's why I say, Paul, I saw him teach somebody how to put a paintbrush on the end of a broom to loosen her up. So he had to paint from a distance. And I was trying to think about how I could loosen myself up, and I used a paint scraper. And instead of using a brush, I started painting with a paint scraper. And I knew I wouldn't be able to be so tight with my painting if I did that. And you would be surprised how tight you can get with a paint scraper.
You push the limits.
Yeah. But it helped me to start seeing things and loosen up and not being so particular. And then I slowly drifted back to this method. I want my paint to be a little smoother. You'll see in my paintings, there's a very smooth, almost furniture-like surface on my paintings. And I would play around with a lot of different things. And little by little, things that worked, I kept. Things that didn't, I got rid of. And it's evolved into this method that I use.
Is the paint thick on the canvas?
No, it goes in several washes.
I'm nosy. I said that. What were you doing before you went back? Your daughter roped you into going to this?
Working in insurance.
Working
for an insurance company, working in a corporate world. And I realized that me and corporate America probably didn't go together because they're a very straight-laced sort of place. And we differed in that respect. And there's a lot of freedom in this as opposed to working the day-to-day routine.
How have you changed since you've become a painter and stopped being a corporate person in insurance?
I would say that I question things a little bit more than I did maybe before. So before I might have accepted, you know, this is the way it's done. And now I might say, why is this the way it's done? And can it be done a different way? And which is what I do when I paint.
You can see an image of the painting we just talked about. It's called Two Lamps, on the Spark page at WMRA.org. Other Janice Breeden paintings will be hanging in Ruby's Lounge at Clementine in Harrisonburg the entire month of May. There's an official exhibit opening next Thursday, May 3rd, from 5 to 7. After a break with Bob Levicky's invitation to check this out and an encore presentation of my October conversation with Sarah Elizabeth Farris, writer, artist, cancer patient.